Welcome back to Mound Money. On the phone with us, we have Steve Anderson. He is the author of the Bezos Letters, where Steve goes through in his book some of the letters that Bezos has written to shareholders almost every year and extract some of the insights from those letters. Steve, thank you for joining us on Mountain Money.
It's my pleasure. Thanks for having me this morning.
Great. Well, let's jump in. I gave a short intro to what the Bezos letters are, the letters that Bezos has written to shareholders. But tell us more. What are those letters? What are the role that they play? And why did Bezos write those letters? And why did you write a book about those letters?
All great questions. It's not uncommon for public companies to write a letter to shareholders from the CEO. What is uncommon is Jeff Bezos has, as I called, laid out in plain sight the plan he used to grow Amazon. And when I looked at the letters and actually started reading them in order, so there are currently now 21 letters he's written, starting in 1997. The last letter is 2018. I also realized he had a large amount of advice on what he uses and what Amazon uses to grow. And so that's what intrigued me about the letters. I felt as I was actually talking from is examining the letters and pulling out the 14 principles that I identified in those letters that actually I think any business can use to grow their own business.
So when I was looking through the book, I really liked how you broke it down into cycles of growth and then 14 growth principles. You know, we won't have time to hit every one of those details as much as we'd like to, but for the sake of our audience, the four growth cycles were testing, build, accelerate, and scale. And you've got 3 to 4 principles under each one. Let's start with testing. And one of the principles under there is encourage successful failure. Now, Bezos talks about how he lost billions of dollars and referred to one failure as getting a root canal without anesthesia. I think that was pets.com. But why does he call that a successful failure?
Yeah, early on, yeah.
What makes that different from a regular failure? What makes a failure a success?
Yeah, now, that is one of the principles that tends to catch people's attention early on because you typically don't hear the word successful and failure in the same sentence. And that's what stood out to me. My background is insurance, and I've been in that industry virtually my entire career. And so looking at risk differently is one of the things that caught my attention about Bezos. In fact, I call him the master of risk. And so let me give you a quick example. In 2014, Amazon actually created and released a phone. It's called the Fire Phone. Now, frankly, most people don't know about it because it was an utter failure. In fact, at one point, they lowered the price of the phone to 99 cents, and they couldn't give them away. So at the end of that year, in the last quarter, they wrote off $178 million in inventory that they just couldn't sell. So failure, right. No question. Where's the success come from? The group that created the phone actually is the same group that created the Kindle e-reader. It's called Lab 126. And they then went on to create the Amazon Echo, as we know it as Alexa, right? The Echo is the hardware. Alexa is the software that makes the recognition work. And Amazon literally just a few days ago announced kind of their next round of new hardware devices. And that is looking to be one of their big successes. So the failure out of the Fire Phone, they were able to take those lessons and put them into the Echo and Alexa for a big success. So that is the concept. And Bezos talks a lot about experimentation, and that's what that first cycle of test really is about. You've got to experiment to know what you're going to do next as a business. Well, by its very nature, an experiment means you're going to fail.
Well, and what can help you from failing is if you have access to good data. And I would argue Amazon is one of the five companies in the world that have access to some of the best data that, frankly, most companies don't have access to. Part of that is how Amazon comes up with new products. Is no other company really knows more about the average, at least in America, the buying history and the types of wants that consumers have. You have a chapter in your book about their phonetic, their focus on serving the customer and just their maniacal focus on that. It's not just a stress. It's an obsession, I believe, is the word that you use in your book. Talk to us about their obsession with customers.
Yeah, and actually, I do use the word obsession in the book, but that actually comes from Bezos in his letters. And in his very first 1997 letter, he says that our obsession over customers is what will lead to our ultimate success. And so obsession for Amazon in customers looks different than most other companies, and I think that's where a lesson may be learned. So a lot of companies talk about customer service, customer focus, customer journey, customer experience, but in Amazon's case, they start with the customer on anything they're looking at creating, inventing, innovating. And in fact, he uses a phrase numerous times throughout the letters where he talks about we invent on behalf of the customer. And I think that that focus is just different. Now, obsession can have a negative side to it, and I think there's an appropriate question now as you see Amazon in the news and the privacy and, as you mentioned, all the data they gather. Can that obsession go too far? I don't know. That's a great question. But I think many companies can learn to focus more and be more obsessed on their customers than they are today. So I think that's part of the lesson there.
And that was the first principle, obsess over customers, that you have under the growth cycle for build. Under the growth cycle, accelerate, you have generate high-velocity decisions. And that Jeff Bezos said, don't treat all decisions the same. There are type one and type two decisions. What's the difference?
Yeah, and again, I think this is such an interesting lesson that he shares with how decisions are made at Amazon. So he labels them type one and type two, as you said. Type one decisions are irreversible. Those are the big decisions. That if you make the decision, they're bet the farm decisions. They're hard to change once you've done it. Type two decisions are decisions that are easily reversible and should be made quickly and at the lowest level possible that's competent to make the decision. So if you make a type two decision, and as he describes it, you walk through that door, and you don't like what you see, you either make another decision to pivot some another direction, or you turn around and walk back. It's easy to reverse that decision. Unfortunately, what he says is as companies grow, they tend to move from type two decisions in a startup mode to type one decisions where they don't need to be type one decisions, and that slows down the decision-making, which slows down the growth in the company.
There's got to be a sweet spot, right, between type one and type two, because type two decisions to me felt like throw the spaghetti up against the wall and let's see what sticks. And it could be seen as reckless, but it kind of goes back to your principle number one about encouraging successful failure. So there seems to be a nuance to a really good company leader that can say that's a good type two decision to go forward with.
Yeah, and one of the other things he says in relation to type two is that you should make you, if you have 70% of the information you want, you should go ahead and make a decision. Huh. And the other, and now this is a leadership principle, so this is from Amazon. So the growth principles are my principles that I identified in the letter, but Amazon has leadership principles, and one of those is default to action, meaning you don't wait, you move. And yes, I think sometimes you can move too fast, And at some point you recognize that and then shift. But you're right, it is a balance between the two. And for Amazon, as large as they are, they're very nimble, which, again, I think is a lesson other business owners can learn from and take to heart.
Let me ask you, you were talking about leadership, and one of the ways Bezos provides leadership, you know, with a company the size of Amazon, it's hard to communicate. It's hard to get the word out. And I think the Bezos letters are not just designed for the shareholders, but clearly for all of his employees and share some core tenets and is yet another redundant way for him to get the key message across. But let's talk about Bezos as a person and kind of what you've been able to take away from the letters. I'm about Bezos's age. In fact, my wife was born on the exact same day as Jeff Bezos, just minutes apart. He's somebody that I followed since before Amazon went public. And I would say the idea of Amazon back in the day was a decent idea. It wasn't a unique idea, and it wasn't a fantastic idea. It was okay. But what Bezos was really good at in the early days was he was a great executor. And over time, I would argue, he went from being a good leader to a great leader. And I'm wondering if, as you read the letters, you were able to kind of chart out his growth as a leader. Were you able to see a difference from the early letters from the late letters as far as a leader?
Yes, I was. And again, that was one of the things that attracted me to the letters and was one of the reasons that the book actually emerged out of them. Couple of things here. One is Bezos is very smart, and we have lots of indicators of that, just education, and he was valedictorian of his high school class. He went to Princeton University, you know, all of those types of things. So he's smart. But I think you're right. He saw an opportunity and tried to figure out, okay, what could I sell online that would make the biggest difference? And then he moved from there. So kind of the progression, to get to your question, of his leadership skills, they have evolved over the 21 years. And I see indicators of that within the letters. Some of the later years, probably 14, 15, 16, 17, and 18, tend to be longer letters than some of the early ones, where he goes into more of his style, what they've done at Amazon in order to manage the growth. And that was one of my questions. You know, they have over 650,000 employees now. How did they scale to that? And back to what you said, and keep that startup mindset. And he said in a couple of interviews now, his main job as CEO is that he needs to educate the junior executive on the culture, the mindset, in order to keep Amazon growing. One of the interesting things in the letters, and I want to go back to your comment about him using the letters for more than just shareholders. Absolutely believe that. One of the shifts in the letters is the salutation. They start out with, "Dear shareholder." At about 2009, 2010, he shifts to, "Dear share owner." Again, another communication piece to help educate shareholders, employees, as well as others outside that sphere on what he thinks is necessary for a company to grow. And that's one of my big surprises. Why did he do that and give that away? I call it hidden in plain sight, when his competitors could use that against him. So I think there is a teaching mindset there about Bezos also.
And let's expand on that teaching moment, because I did notice how promote ownership was one of the principles that you had picked up on, also picked up on the transition from shareholders to share owners. But please describe to our listeners how they can use the Bezos model to treat their employees like owners and those outcomes they can see as a result. I get how you do it with share owners, but how do you do it with the 650,000 employees? Or six employees if you have a small business?
Well, in the 97 letter, Yeah, right, or six, exactly. And I think that's a key point is, you know, when you look at Amazon, I'm never, you know, I can hear business owners saying, I never am going to be, nor do I want to be Amazon. And I absolutely agree with that. But my phrase I use is, aren't you curious how we did it? And are there lessons that you can use in your six-employee business? And I think one of those is promote ownership. And Amazon, or excuse me, Bezos said in the 97 letter that employees and finding high-quality employees is going to be key to their growth. And in order to do that, they are going to default compensation to owner actual shares ownership. So from the very beginning, they actually paid below-market salaries, but had a generous and still have a generous stock option program for virtually all employees at all levels. Because Bezos says if you want an employee to think like an owner, they actually have to be an owner. And that has been a core belief of his from the very beginning.
It has been, and, you know, you mentioned...
Let me follow that. Can I follow that?
Please do.
Can I follow that with one comment? So a six-person, you know, let's just say that 10-person a company, you know, what can you do? Maybe you don't want to give shares away, but what can you do to give them a vested interest, your employees a vested interest in the company? And, you know, maybe it's if you have an employee that develops a product, give them a share of the profits from that product. I think there are unique ways that you can think about ownership that instead of just talking about thinking about, you know, being an owner, how can I actually encourage and incentivize employees to be an owner?
Great point. So we've talked about the 1997 letter, the first one that he wrote. You talked about some of Amazon's secrets being hidden in plain sight. I actually read the 1997 letter when it came out. And I was struck by a couple things in that letter. The first is, and I looked at it as a potential investor, is he basically says, If you're going to own my stock for 6 months, a year, 2 years, 3 years, please don't invest. You know, he really stresses in that letter that he only wants to have long-term investors, which I thought was very insightful for him, particularly if you look at Amazon today. If you value Amazon by traditional measures, it's an incredibly expensive stock because they invest so much back into the company. You write in your book that Bezos would argue the way to value the company is looking at their free cash flow. But talk to us about Bezos's philosophy on reinvesting in the company. For instance, Prime has been enormously successful for the company. But when it first came out, people thought Bezos was nuts to offer. I think it came out at $69 a year when it came out. And you got free shipping for that. And I remember at the time, people thought he was nuts. Obviously, it was a brilliant decision. Talk to us about Bezos' decision-making process when it comes to investing back in the company.
Yeah, and I think that's, you know, you highlighted one of the really interesting points of that original 97 letter is that he does say, you know, this is not short term. I think long term and we will invest long term. So again, that's one of my growth principles is long term thinking. And he displays that literally throughout the growth of Amazon. And to the point that he attaches that 97 letter to every single subsequent letter. And he is always referring back to that original letter, which again, I think is really interesting. You know, obviously he thinks it's important, so why? But if you look at Amazon's history, in fact, probably maybe 5 years after they went public, actually probably 3 or 4 years because it was in the 2000.com bubble burst where stock prices tanked, and actually, he writes in his 2000 letter that it's been a hard year. Amazon stock price went down 80%. And then he starts listing in the letter all of the reasons why the fundamentals at Amazon are really good. And that he's convinced that long-term the stock price will come back up, which is why I included a chart in the book of the December 31st stock price for every year since 1997 through 2018. And if you look in those early years, the stock price was really low. Profits were non-existent because they were going back into the company building the infrastructure. But he had this thought, idea, that the infrastructure is going to be the engine that actually accelerates our growth long term. I also will note in the 97 letter, he talks about the long term when he talks about we're building something we can tell our grandchildren about. So long term for Bezos is multi-generational. And that's where I actually bring in Blue Origin, his space company, because that's even longer term thinking on why he's building that and the purpose of Blue Origin. But that, again, is key. And unfortunately, Wall Street punishes long term thinking and rewards quarterly short term thinking. And he fought against that, and I would say for Amazon successfully, but it was a long fight.
We have been talking to Steve Anderson, author of The Bezos Letters. Steve, before we let you go, real quick, who's the audience for this book? Who are you writing for?
Well, the specific audience is business owners, because I believe whether you love Amazon or hate Amazon, whether you love Bezos or hate Bezos, there's something to learn from what he's done. And as a business owner, in order to grow, I think these principles, and maybe not all of them, and you have to go through and look and see which ones resonate with you, but starting to think about these principles will help your business grow. That's what I'm convinced of. I'm also hearing back from early readers that they're applying it in their church. They're applying it in their nonprofit, that it's giving them a different way of thinking about how they grow their mission of whatever it is. So that's an interesting additional piece for me.
Forgiveness delivered by 10 a.m. tomorrow morning. I'm making an unsuccessful joke there, I guess, about how churches might apply the Bezos letters. Sorry.
Well, I'll laugh.
My co-host Renee was giving me this stunt look. Sorry about that.
Steve, I had no idea where he was going with that. I'm
like,
glad he followed
what?
Up. Steve Anderson, author of the Bezos letters.
Yeah, I did actually. So
we appreciate your time. Thanks for being with us this morning.
Oh, my pleasure. Thanks for having me. Y'all have a great day.